Shall we lift up our voices as we begin to appreciate this great God, thank Him for another privilege to be in His presence on the third day. The Bible says that He will raise us up. Thank Him for the privilege to be on the third day of our week of spiritual emphasis. Father, we appreciate You. We give You all the glory. We give You all the praise. We give You all the honor for the blessings of the third day. We are grateful, Lord. Thank You, faithful God, for how far You have brought us. Thank You, Lord, for what You are about to do in our lives. We give You all the glory and honor. Ask Him for a word this evening. Lord, speak to me Your grafted word. I'm here to hear from You, not to hear from a man. Lord, speak to me this evening. May I hear You and hear You clearly. Make sure that heaven's hearing Your voice. Make sure You are making this demand on God. Father, speak to us again. Thank You, faithful God. And blessed be Your holy name. Our God, our Lord, we have come before You this evening to receive Your word from You. Lord, I submit myself under Your authority, under Your unction. Lord, let Your word flow from me. May I not speak of myself, but that which You would deliver to Your people. Let it be the only thing that will proceed out of my mouth. And at the end, O God, I vow to give You all the glory that is due to Your name. Thank You, faithful God, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Put those hands together for the Lord as you take your seat in His presence. Praise the Lord. And finally, on the covenant highway of life, congratulations. I want to appreciate God this evening for the privilege given to me to bring His word to His people. And also want to appreciate God's servant and resident pastor for the grace extended towards me this evening. I pray that the grace of God upon your life, sir, will have expression in my life this evening. We shall all be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of Jesus. Since the beginning of the week of spiritual emphasis, we have been looking at a teaching series that is titled Engaging the Power of Passion and Stewardship. And our resident pastor kicked us off on Wednesday and explained to us what passion is. That it should be is born out of love, and that culminate in zeal, and become zealous for the things of the Lord. We are told in John chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 17, that Jesus went on a one-man rampage because He was angry at what He saw in the house of the Lord, a place that was supposed to be a place of prayer. They were buying and selling. That's the only time you see Jesus becoming physical. He was physically angry, and He took a whip and beat them up and threw them out of the temple. Why? Because of His passion for the things of God. And they remembered that it is written about Him that the zeal of thine house had eaten me up. Praise the name of Jesus. We as children of God, we should have the same zeal. When you see things are not going right in the house of God, how do you feel about it? Like our pastor that taught us yesterday said, do you go and start discussing it and make it the next breaking news that you call people and start telling them what is happening? Because I know some of us, we have breaking news syndrome. That will not be you in Jesus' mighty name. You must be the first person to announce it. That should not be you. Praise the name of Jesus. It should bleed your heart that something is not going right in the house of God. It should pain you to the point that you go on your knees. If you cannot do anything physically, you go on your knees and pray that that situation should be averted. Praise the name of Jesus. We have also been told that every passionate believer is an ever self-motivated individual in stewardship. You are motivated by yourself. You don't need anyone to call you to come to fellowship, to call you to come to service, come and pray. You are self-motivated. If you are here and you need someone to ginger you before you do the things of God, you need to check where your heart is. Praise the name of Jesus. We were also told that passion is what fuels our consistency and steadfastness in stewardship. Fuel is what you need to keep moving. You burn energy. And as you burn the energy, it produces energy that you use to move forward. Up today, down tomorrow, you are fired up when you are happy with everybody. And when something goes wrong, you get angry. You don't come to church anymore. I want to stay at home and all of that. You're angry with the leadership. You don't want to come to church. as if you don't come, the church will not exist. Praise the name of Jesus. You need the church. You need to be here. The church does not need you. You need God. God does not need you. So being angry and saying, I'm not coming anymore, you are doing one person and that person is you. None of us will be found there in Jesus' mighty name. But passion is not a gift, as we're told. It is a decision that is steered by one's unreserved love for God and the interest of his kingdom. You decide to love, and as you love God, it culminates in passion, which drives you, like Prophet Elijah. He was so passionate about the things of God that when things were going wrong, he was so angry. He went to the king. When Ahab saw him the first time, he said, is that you who troubles Israel? I'm not the one troubling Israel. You and your father's house and the sin of Jezebel, your wife, you are the trouble that we have here. He said to them, because you are doing this and God is not happy with you, there will not be rain until I say so. He did that out of passion for the things of God. He did that out of his decision to serve, his decision to take God's kingdom seriously. And that will be our portion in Jesus' mighty name. Today we shall continue in what is passion that we have been looking at, trying to explain and trying to understand how we can engage the power of passion in stewardship. Today we shall be looking at the part 3 of this teaching series, Engaging the Power of Passion in Stewardship. This will be our part 3. We must first of all understand that serving God is no mere religious activity or hobby. Serving God is a big time business. It's business, and we know in every business, the ultimate goal is profit in some form. Either to improve something or to make more money or to change a situation. There is always profit involved when it comes to business. That's why in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus was telling his parents, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? So he was talking about kingdom business. Serving God is a business. So when you serve God anyhow, as if nothing is, you don't expect anything, when you do that, you don't have a business mindset. Those of us who have businesses here, we know that you have to be around when the time that customers are there. If you open when everybody is asleep, you will fold up in no time. But that will not be you in Jesus' mighty name. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So you are serving God with the consciousness of the business mindset. And as you do that, you will discover that your attitude will begin to change. You will do things on your own without being cajoled, without being gingered by somebody. You will not say, somebody step on your toes. Because of that, I'm not going to do anything. Because you think that you are going to heaven for that person. Everybody will stand before God on their own. On their own. I did something that offended you. I'll be judged based on that. What you also did, you also be judged based on that. If you say, because of what I've done, I'm not coming to church anymore, that will take you to heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. None of us will be found in Jesus' mighty name. Passion is what empowers believers to keep going and still worship, both in season and out of season. In Philippians chapter 1, from verse 15 to verse 18, we are told there, Apostle Paul speaking, says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction on my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, that then, notwithstanding, say what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I daring do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. So he is fired up regardless of what they are doing against him. Apostle Paul suffered so much in the hands of both the Jews and the Romans. But he kept on going. He kept on going. Because why? He had passion. He has the love of God in him. And that was what kept him going. And we see what he said in Philippians chapter 3, if you read from verse 7 to verse 8 there, I'll just read verse 7, and he said, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He was willing to lay down everything. Apostle Paul was well read. He was a doctor of law, a Pharisee. He knew everything about the Judaism, he knew everything. But he said he was willing to drop those things for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. Many of us, you touch our titles, and we are ready to remove our shirts. Praise the name of Jesus. You call somebody who was once a deacon, is now a pastor, you call him a deacon, he will look at you in a way that you will know that you would miss something. Praise the name of Jesus. This is a man who is willing to lose everything. He said, I count everything as nothing. Your ego, yourself, your reputation, name it. Before God, you and I are nothing. He calls us servant. David was a king, a very great king. But how does God address him? David, my servant. There is no bishop, there is no archbishop, there is no pastor. All these titles, they are here on the edge just so that we know our roles, so that everybody will not rush here on Sunday to come and try to preach. At least we know who is the resident pastor. Praise the name of Jesus. That's the reason. Other than that, we are all equal before him, servants and children of God. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Praise the name of Jesus. Serving God will turn giants out of ordinary believers. We see in the life of David, he was actually the forgetting child. When Samuel went to Jesse's house, you know this story, he was not counted. He was not one of the people qualified to be lined up to see if they can pick a king from there. He was not one of them. They actually forgot about him. And Samuel had to question the man because God told him that the king is coming from this house. He said, are these all your children, really? Then the man answered, oh, okay, there is one yet who is forgotten somewhere in the bush. And he said, he must come. He must bring him. Because of his passion for God, he said, like our resident pastor told us this morning, that David's heart for God was what located him and brought him to the forefront. His heart for God. Praise the name of Jesus. May your heart be in the right place in Jesus' mighty name. Because of that, one man, he was so multiplied in value to the point that he was equivalent to 10,000. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3. He said, but the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of a city. So they said, your value has been so multiplied that you are now over 10,000 people in one person. Praise the name of Jesus. Serving God and having a heart of God will multiply your value to the extent that you yourself, you will be so confused. Praise the name of Jesus. You become so valuable, so relevant. And let me tell you, no matter how humble you are, there's nobody on the face of the earth who doesn't want to be recognized as great, doesn't want to be a giant. Everybody wants to be. That's why when you treat people with disrespect, they stay away from you because you are diminishing their value. When you treat people anyhow, people leave marriages, leave relationships because they are being treated like a nobody. Nobody wants that. But serving God will deliver that to you. Will deliver multiple of your values to you with ease. But you must have a heart for him. Praise the name of Jesus. But what must we do for our stewardship to qualify for rewards? What must we do for our stewardship to qualify for rewards? Very quickly, there are 10 of them, so I might be rushing to them. Number one, we must serve God righteously. We must serve God righteously. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, wherefore we serve, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. With reverence and godly fear. Righteousness is not a negotiable virtue in the kingdom. All these mercy and grace that they teach on the internet, you can do whatever you want and you will still get it free. And God is not a bad God. He doesn't care anymore. That is not true. It's a lie. That is not true. Righteousness is a value that God honors. God takes so seriously. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we read from verse 19 to verse 21, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Then he went for that to say that in a great house there are vessels of honor, vessels to dishonor, but if any man will clean himself, he will become a vessel of honor. So you are absolutely responsible for how clean you become. God will only use you to the level that you are clean. You go to somebody's house, we've heard that before here from our resident pastor, if they serve you water with dirty cup, will you drink it? You won't. So why do you think that God will not mind the fact that you have envy, bitterness, anger, and all kinds of things in your heart, and you come and try to minister and try to do things pretending as if all is well? God is not mocked. Let's clean up. Praise the name of Jesus. For the fact that he has not reacted doesn't mean that he doesn't know. Let's turn quickly to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 from verse 22 to verse 23. Numbers 14. It says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." So God was counting. He said, "These 10 times they have disobeyed me." There is an expiry date for mercy. None of us will get there. When it expires, God will turn his back. You can do all that you want to do, he will not listen. That's what happened in the case of Saul. He consistently broke the rules without any remorse. He got to a point. Samuel wept all night because of Saul. And God said, "Forget it. This guy, I'm done with him." You will not get there. Number two, we must serve God willingly. We must serve God willingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man had, not according to that he had known." Willingness is very important. Have you been offered something by someone before and you say, "Oh no, I don't want, thank you very much"? Because of the way they are offering it like you are a beggar. It's as if you are forcing them. You say, "No, keep it, keep it. Don't worry, I'm good." But you need it. But you won't take it because of how it wasn't done from a heart of love, a heart that is willing. You stay, you say, "I don't want it." The same way. If it's not willing, nobody's forcing, if you don't do it, God will raise stones. He said, "If you tell these people to keep quiet, I will raise stones and they will glorify my name." Stones will not replace us in Jesus' mighty name. Number three, we must serve God cheerfully. We must serve God cheerfully. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and verse 48. Very familiar Bible passage we've read over and over in this assembly. Let's read it one more time. It says, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee." Say, "God forbid." It's not that you didn't do the work. You did the work, but while you were doing it, you were grumbling, complaining, murmuring. God has come again. He's pushing me and all of that. You are doing something and you are not happy. You are in the unit. Why is it only me that is doing it? And you are complaining. The Bible says, "Cursed is the man that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." Do it with a willing heart. Do it with cheerfulness. Do it with a heart that is happy. Be happy. It's a privilege. Be joyful. Let there be smiles on your face. If, for instance, you are in the unit and there's supposed to be maybe about 8-10 people and there's only two of you, guess when the angels come in with the reward for 10 people and they find two, what do you think they are going to do? They split it in half. 5 here, 5 there. So you have been given the rewards of 5 people because you were there at that time. So why are you complaining? Praise the name of Jesus. Number 4, we must serve God faithfully. Faithfulness is simply being loyal. Being loyal to the caller. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we are told, they say, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Be faithful. Be on the job. God has called you to do something. Do it from your heart. Do it with joy. Do it faithfully. Be committed to what God has called you to do. Be loyal. Praise the name of Jesus. Number 5, our service must be love motivated. Our service must be love motivated. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. It says, and though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profited me nothing. Don't serve God on contract. Some of us, we treat God like the fire department. Fire department, you need them when there's crisis. And when the crisis is done, you don't remember them anymore. You should have a father-son, father-daughter relationship with God. Many of us are praying kingdom advancement prayer right now because we have something in mind that we want God to do for us. And we pray and pray and pray. Once that need is met, kingdom advancement prayer has gone. We put it under the shelf until another need arises. That will not be you in Jesus' mighty name. Number 6, we must serve God diligently. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Grace was making him diligent. The grace of God is upon each and every one of us here. We just need to put it to work. Grace is multiplied as you use it. Praise the name of Jesus. The grace upon you is for labor. It's not to sit down. That's a God. The grace of God is upon me. It is for you to become so dedicated in what God has called you to do in the house of God. Everywhere you find yourself working for the Lord, that grace will begin to speak in Jesus' mighty name. Very quickly, number 7, say we must serve God unashamedly. Psalm 119 verse 46 says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. That's David speaking. Many of us, we cannot boldly declare that we are Christians when we are at a place of work before our managers will bend. We do whatever they want us to do because we don't want to appear too religious, too fanatic. If you deny Jesus before men, he says he will deny you before his father. None of us will be found there. Let them know you are a Christian. Let them know you can't go to certain places because you are a child of God. You can't do that. They will frown their face initially, but secretly, they will respect you because you are standing for something. You are standing for God. Praise the name of Jesus. Number 8, we must serve God as a privilege and not as a burden. Our God is not a taskmaster. He's a loving father. Whatever he's asking you to do is for your own good. It's like a father telling his son to go and read his book. You are not reading for your dad. You are reading for you. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's quickly look at Jeremiah chapter 23. When they were complaining that the burden of the Lord is upon them. Let's start from verse Jeremiah 23 from 33 to 40. But because of time, I will read verse 38 to verse 40. It says, but since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you. I will forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Say, God forbid. That is when we see God's work as a burden. This thing is weighing me down. I'm tired. But none of us will be found there. It's a privilege. He said, you see, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 26 to verse 29, Apostle Paul saying there that not many mighty, not many noble were called, but God picked you and I, the base things of this earth, in order to confound the wise. If you find yourself here, it's because you were nobody. God picked you and make you somebody. So that no flesh should glory. So what do you think you have that God did not give you? Praise the name of Jesus. Number 9, we must serve God sacrificially. We must serve God sacrificially. In Luke chapter 12, verse 49 to verse 50, Jesus speaking there, he said, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, how am I straightened till it be accomplished? He said, I'm ready to sacrifice everything. I am stretched out, ready to give up everything to make sure that my mission on the earth is completed. What are you ready to give up in order to retain this kingdom? Praise the name of Jesus. And finally, we must serve God tirelessly. You must keep on the job. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The crown is always reserved for those who endure to the end. You will endure to the end and serve God tirelessly in Jesus' mighty name. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are here. You don't know the Lord. You have the opportunity right now to give your life to Jesus. Peradventure, you gave your life earlier and you got offended and you decide to go back to the world. You want to reconnect to Him. This is an opportunity for you. You can quickly say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize my situation. I am a sinner. I come before you today and I ask that you wash me and cleanse me with your blood. Receive me back into the kingdom. I know you died for me on the cross of Calvary, and on the third day you rose again for my justification. Father, save me, for I cannot save myself. Thank you, faithful God, for saving me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You pray that prayer. Raise up your hand if you are in the assembly. If you are online, send us a text, send us a message so that we can continue to pray that your salvation be established. Church, rise up. Put your hands together for the Lord.